We'd like to thank our friends at PwC for their support, partnership, and collaboration in making Retail Gets Real. Learn more about how PwC helps retailers at pwc.com.
Having a home that you are in most of the time, that, you know, you may have a home office, you want to be entertained at home through gaming, home decor, home improvement, and then of course eating and drinking at home more because you're not going to restaurants. And so that's definitely what happened. And you see a lot of retailers that are playing into that need in the hot 25 at the top.
Welcome to Retail Gets Real, where we talk with retail's most fascinating leaders about the industry that impacts everyone, everywhere, every day. Today, I'm handing over the microphone to my friend, my colleague, and my sometimes co-host, Chris Stewart. Take it away, Chris.
Thanks, Bill. For over a decade, NRF has been working with Kantar to compile our top retailer lists. This year's lists are out. The 2021 Top 100 Retailers and the Hot 25, our list of the 25 fastest growing U.S. retailers. Today, we're chatting with Kantar's Rachel Dalton to learn more about who made the lists and what it tells us about the retail industry today. Before we introduce Rachel, let me welcome my NRF co-host and good buddy, Susan Retta. Hey, Susan.
Hey, Chris. Good to be here today.
Good to be here. You're the best person to talk about this with because you've been involved with these lists for a long, long time.
Yeah, I love a good list, but who doesn't?
Who doesn't? I think Rachel probably also enjoys a good list. Let's welcome Rachel. Hey, Rachel.
Hi, Chris. Hey, Susan. Nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. We're really excited. Before we start talking about the lists, can we just get to know you a little bit? Like you were with Kantar. Can you give us a little bit more background about yourself?
Sure. So I'm with Kantar and I'm part of the consulting team on the retail side. So my specific role is leading thought leadership within the e-commerce and omni-channel space within retail. So that's my primary role within the company.
Excellent, excellent. So let's start out by talking about the lists. We have this list of the top 100 retailers and the hot 25 lists. Can you just kind of give us an overview of what those lists are and how they're compiled?
Sure. So Kantar, each year we do extensive forecasting across retail, across hundreds of retailers, and we publish forecasts, five-year forecasts twice per year. The hot 100, it really represents the top 100 retailers in the U.S. in terms of sales. And the hot 25 represents the fastest growing retailers. Those are retailers that minimally are $300 million in sales or more. That's really the methodology behind the two lists. But it does involve a quite extensive and detailed forecasting across our analyst group to help inform those lists.
So when you say fastest growing, does that mean like they've opened the most number of stores? Like how does growing what?
A fastest growing sales in terms of sales.
So they might not have had the most sales. They've just had the highest percentage of growth.
That's correct. Yes.
And top has the most sales.
Yes, that's correct. So they could be smaller companies, but showing growth, substantial growth.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I do want to make one point. I'm sorry, just Susan, that we used to have the top 100 and the hot 100. And this year, NRF made the switch to the hot 25. And I just wanted to point out that we all kind of talked about that and we came to the conclusion that it was just a better way to represent these really hot growing retailers by focusing on limiting it to those 25.
True, because how hot could you be if you're number 80? Oops, did I say that? No, if you were 80 on the 2020 list, you rocked. But let's go to the top 100. It's funny to me that despite the fact that there was so much upheaval in 2020, our top 100 list, you know, the strong stayed really strong. There's Walmart, number one again, but then again, they've been number one for decades. But tell me a little bit about that sort of big picture of our top 100 list.
Sure. So you're right, Susan. There hasn't been any major shifts when you're looking at least the top 10 and even the top 20 on the top 100. These are your big major retailers. As you said, Walmart remains in the lead. Amazon's number two. And there, you know, there've been a few, you know, up and down movement across, you know, few retailers will move up one or two spots, others move down, but essentially you have a fairly stable look, especially when you're looking at least at the top 20. So you have Walmart, of course, the leader, and Walmart has, you know, their strategy is really focused on being the primary destination for shoppers. And a couple of things that they're doing to be able to achieve that goal. One is expanding out their fulfillment capabilities quite substantially. So this will help them be able to grow the number of omnichannel shoppers who would consider Walmart a primary destination. So that's a big piece of what they're working on, and that's key to keeping them in the lead, as well as their Walmart Plus membership that they launched recently, which will definitely help them not only attract new shoppers, but to secure bigger baskets, you know, more frequent trips, to better compete against Amazon, whose Prime membership program is a huge strategic priority for them, and what also helps keep Amazon up, you know, in that top two. So those are a couple of the things. But I think overall, when you look at the top 100, the companies that are really, you know, in the top 100, but really in the lead of the top 100 are those that invested significantly in omni-channel capabilities. You know, today, you know, omni-channel, omni-commerce is really our norm. You know, in the US, 86% of all US shoppers consider themselves omni-channel shoppers, meaning they shop in-store and online. It's not one or the other. So these retailers that are in the lead have invested considerably in omni-channel capabilities, in fulfillment, in just digital technologies, in data. So that's really key to, you know, remaining at the top of the list.
That's super interesting.
It's really interesting because all of these omni-channel and the data and the tech that you need to be successful, clearly very important. You also need to have the products that consumers want. And something that Walmart, you know, did in the last year that Susan and I had a conversation about was the partnership with Gap that kind of came out of nowhere. We were like, oh, that's a really interesting thing. And what an interesting way to open yourself up to maybe a new cohort of consumers that, oh, I'm not going to, you know, I'm not a Walmart shopper. Well, what is this Gap line at Walmart? That's really interesting. So the fact that they're still remaining relevant and finding ways to bring in new products and attract new consumers is really important as well.
For sure. And that's definitely key. And that's really an important point. So the retailers that are laser focused on their consumer, their customer, mm-hmm. and really understanding them and their changing needs and requirements are also those like Walmart that stay in the lead. It's always about making sure you can flex and be agile across all business metrics, but in particular, really understanding deeply what your shoppers are looking for.
Yeah. And when I think about partnerships, I can't help but think about Target and how high they are on our list mm-hmm. and how collaboration is just sort of part of their DNA.
Yeah.
Just a really interesting one to watch.
Target at number 7.
Yes, absolutely. And Target's merchandising is always extraordinary. And their store experience is a very positive one for their guests.
Yeah. So just thinking about yesterday's news, when you looked at worldwide sales, Amazon, oh my God, took somebody's crown. Mm-hmm. Could that happen here in the US? I mean, to me, if Walmart, you know, runs deep, it runs in the blood, but I don't know.
Yeah, Amazon, I mean, when you look at Amazon, they're number 2 in the top 100 consistently. They're also in the top 10 of the hot 25. So that is actually a very important point because given the massive size of Amazon, to have those extraordinary percentage sales growth increases is huge. You know, a lot of times you see huge growth percentages for, you know, smaller organizations, but Amazon continues to remain in the top 10 of the hot 25 as well as the, you know, top 2 of the top 100. So, I mean, of course, Amazon's expertise is online. They consider themselves a technology company first and a retailer second. So using that technology to drive retail and to drive growth of their overall ecosystem beyond retail into areas like fulfillment, which, you know, they're competing with fulfillment experts. You know, in 2020 alone, they increased their fulfillment square footage by 50%, which as compared to 15% in 2019. So they are really investing significantly, not only in overall fulfillment, but also in that middle last mile, which is more of their transportation, the Amazon logistics piece of their fulfillment network. And this is one of their huge, big strategies, in particular to compete against Walmart and Target, you know, those with very strong brick and mortar presence, because they don't have that. But having more fulfillment centers and transportation centers in and around more of their customers across more regions in the US and more places allows them to have that physical presence that they don't have with a store, but enables them to then start being able to deliver more of their assortment across more places to more customers same day. And, you know, over time, you know, how much more quickly can they get delivery to their customers? So if they can get delivery across, you know, in the near future, across a huge piece of their assortment within a couple of hours, then they're really competing to, oh, I don't have to, you know, they're competing with, the Walmart or Target where you can get in your car if you need something in the next hour. Well, you know, maybe at some point Amazon will be able to deliver that across more of their assortment. So that's huge for them. And so using their technology to develop their retail, to develop their marketplace, which is another core strategy, delighting their Prime members. You know, today you have 63% of all US shoppers are Prime members. That's just, again, a huge competitive advantage for Amazon. So if you combine all of these things and their growth and expansion in grocery, they're starting now to open physical stores with Amazon Fresh, in addition to more stores with Whole Foods. So they have a lot of levers that they're playing from their overall strategy to stay in that position and to show these big growth numbers. So there's still a lot of potential, with Amazon. So it'll be very interesting to see where they go next.
So they're number two with a rocket.
Yes.
If you know, you know.
So Amazon, Walmart, these are the stalwarts. They've been on the top for 3 years and years. Is there anybody interesting that has, you know, moved up or down, you know, that is kind of noteworthy?
Yeah, I mean, just this past year, and again, you know, the moves up and down happen for various reasons since we do they do the forecast twice per year. But this year in the latest numbers, Kroger and Costco flip-flopped. Mm-hmm. Costco's in the number three position, which, you know, is a small change, but interesting to note because I think there's a variety of reasons for that. You know, Costco shoppers are increasing their online shopping overall, which indicates, I guess, that they are likely to do more online shopping at Costco. So, you know, Costco is a treasure hunt experience. So customers go in-store. In-store is really where it's at for Costco. And Costco leadership wants their customers in-store as a priority over online. But of course, in 2020 with the pandemic, you know, they couldn't go in-store in many cases. So Costco's been investing, you know, they have, you know, digital technologies like a mobile membership card or, you know, in-store signage promoting Costco.com. And so, you know, that combined with just overall loyalty and high membership renewal rates, a good ability to manage supply chain disruptions, which continue to be a challenge, but given their focused assortment, they can manage that, you know, just overall running efficient warehousing and, you know, the online sales portion we believe is highly incremental to overall sales. I think all of those levers combined kind of push them forward. So that's interesting. So we'll see how kind of Costco and Kroger and the others in the top 10, you know, move up and down over the course of the next 6 months to a year. But that was one thing to note. And Lidl, that's another one owned by the Schwartz Group. They were at the top of the hot 25 last time we talked. Now they're still in the top 10, but they've moved up. If you look back at 2019, they were not even in the top 20. They're in the top 20. Clearly, you know, have plans to open more stores, particularly growing in the U.S. So that's also another interesting point.
That's a great segue to talking about this year's Hot 25 list. Mm-hmm. So my favorite way to describe the Hot 25 list is the Pandemic 25. with Wine.com rocketing to the top.
Yes, I was not surprised to see that.
99.4% sales growth, right?
Yes.
I'll drink to that.
Right place, right time.
Yes, that's true. Well, and if you look at the seven of the top 10 in the Hot 25, they're all online pure players, or almost. Amazon is not technically a pure player any longer, but primarily online driven businesses. So that's definitely key with the huge, you know, spike from offline to online shopping, particularly in 2020. So that's part of it. But Yeah, but the, you know, something like a wine.com is the lead. You know, we, that was a huge story in 2020, just online alcohol sales overall. And you read a variety of different companies growing pretty substantially with restaurants and bars being closed and your people really just using their home as their base. And that's, you know, you look at Wayfair, you look at Overstock.com, some of the other players, you know, Tractor Supply and Ace Hardware. And the one, there's a lot of retail hot 25 that are home focused, you know, building, having a home that you are in most of the time, that, you know, you may have a home office, you want to be entertained at home through gaming, home decor, home improvement, and then of course, eating and drinking at home more because you're not going to restaurants. And so that's definitely what happened. And you see a lot of retailers that are playing into that need in the hot 25 at the top.
Let me tell you, when you sit on the couch as much as I do, you look at every corner and go, oh no, that needs to be fixed. Yes, I need to buy more stuff. But one of the things that struck me about the top 10, the 10 on the hot 25 was boxed.com. And so it kind of dovetails with what you were saying about Costco. Now, Costco has a growing footprint in online. Boxed.com lived there. That's where they built their business. And so, you know, I hate to go back to the toilet paper, but oh my gosh, when you wanted toilet paper in bulk, where'd you go?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Boxed.com.
Boxed, I really, really enjoy following that company. It's a fantastic company. And you know, they recently announced that SPAC, the merger with the SPAC company, I think it was Seven Oaks. So they're
yes,
that they're going public. Mm-hmm. So expect a lot more coming from them. They have been growing and doing very well. And we always like to talk about their success. They're looking now to continue, of course, their online retail, like club grocery business. But they're also looking at regenerating its B2B piece of the business, selling its proprietary technology. So they have a lot of growth plans in the future. But yes, they remain in that hot 25 at the top, I think right above Amazon even.
Yeah, I'm looking at them and a lot of them, like they're not only filling this need that we had when we were all stuck at home, but they're all familiar places, right? So like Amazon.com, of course, but you know, like these Overstock.com and Wayfair, like and the grocery, we've been going to these places forever. And so we want to like, you know, we heard a lot about people supporting smaller businesses and often these hot 25 lists highlight smaller businesses and these are not smaller businesses, right? These are established companies.
Yes, absolutely. And yes, and we talked about that too, just in general, like, you know, those that were strong established in companies investing, particularly in omni capabilities pre-pandemic came out stronger. Mm-hmm. You know, those that were not doing that had struggled a lot more. So at the heart of this, these are strong companies with good consumer propositions that, you know, are showing this substantial growth.
And once again, Americans showed how much they love their pets. Because retailers that had pet supplies or pet food or anything that helped us to show our love to our pets, boom, there they are.
Yeah.
Yes, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. The pet growth was outstanding. And you can see too in the results of like a Chewy.com, for example, they're very, very strong overall in terms of sales. So, and growing substantially. So yes, it was a big year for pet for sure. And one other thing I'll say on that hot 25 that I think is an interesting story is 1-800-Flowers.
Yeah.
So they're also, you know, they're in the top five of the hot 25 growing. And something interesting that it looks like they did anyway during the pandemic is adapt their supply chain. So super, again, going back to the topic of being agile, being flexible is the name of the game.
Yeah.
Continue to grow and get ahead. But it looks as if they adjusted to ship almost direct to consumer. So where their flour market was they were able to pack and ship direct as opposed to going through a warehouse. So just another example of a fast growing retailer really just being able to adapt and be agile. And I think that's another key point overall.
And to have those products that, you know, we couldn't gather in person. So we wanted to, you know, I'm thinking of you, I'm sending you these beautiful flowers, I'm sending you chocolates. And like, you know, they have so many different channels that have all these different things that you can send people, right? When you're thinking of them, it's just
yeah. And that's a great point. yeah, connecting with loved ones when you couldn't see them. And that's another reason why they were growing so quickly.
So I will recall a podcast I was part of last fall with Harry and David, which is an offshoot from 1-800-Flowers. And they talked about actually sending meals to various people in an extended family so that you could join on Zoom and have Thanksgiving together. And I mean, like, doesn't that give you all the feels? But that was how companies like 1-800-Flowers just extended their love to so many people. And it just made a real difference. And I think, you know, it's so funny. We kind of like go, wow, 1-800-Flowers, that takes you back to where that company began. Because 1-800, wow, that was a phone business. Well, look how far they have come. Yeah. It's just amazing how they've grown and adapted with their customer.
Yes, that's a great point, Susan.
So what's it going to be like for the rest of the year? What's the story going to be? What's going to happen with retail moving forward? Tell us, Rachel.
So
no pressure. No pressure.
Well, again, I think it's really key that retailers continue to invest behind omnichannel strategies, digital capabilities, really being in tune with who their shopper is and what their shifting needs and attitude and behavior changes are, and really being in tune with that. That those are the retailers that do this that will continue to stay ahead. I think there's some interesting things just from a macro perspective that we're watching now. So the infrastructure bill in the US potentially putting more pressure on labor shortages, which we were already seeing, and material challenges, being more competitive to get materials. So when you think about retailers remodeling stores, you know, how that affects that will be interesting to watch. The food stamp programs, so those that are eligible for SNAP, those shoppers will be eligible for, I think it's more than 25% of an increase in their food stamp monthly payout per person starting in October, I think it is. So that will impact retailers that have fairly extensive SNAP programs like Walmart and Amazon grocery, for example, they'll benefit, but other grocers as well. So some of those macro things that are happening big picture around us will certainly be things to watch in terms of how that affects retail as well. But overall, yes, you know, online continues to grow. The retail business is healthy. It's really now about continuing to make sure you can flex and be agile with changes as they happen and really be in tune with your shopper. And that will continue to, you know, drive success for these retailers on our lists.
This might be a loaded question that is too much for this time we have left. But what about, you know, consumers voting with their dollars, and they're really interested in companies that are taking a stand one way or the other and are, you know, being very forthright in their sustainability efforts, and they're, you know, actually trying to put their money where their mouth is, or maybe not, and their diversity and inclusion efforts, things like that. Are you seeing that continuing to make any kind of a difference moving forward?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. You know, we've been tracking just this concept of holistic value for the last several years in our shopper panel. Mm-hmm. And shoppers have told us that they will, it's more about what they get versus what they pay. So if there's a brand or a retailer that really supports their values in a certain way, whether that's, you know, community-based efforts or the retailer is standing for something that they believe in, you know, as a shopper, they're more likely to spend with that retailer or that brand, even if it costs them a little bit more money. And that is a truth that we've been seeing continue to grow, even in 2020 with the pandemic, when, you know, budgets were potentially more of a concern for people. Even then, you know, people want to vote with their dollars, and that will be a huge piece of, you know, how what we see happening going forward for sure. That's really important to point out.
Yeah. Man, I can keep talking
about price. It's about what your brand or what the retailer is really delivering for them in terms of personal meaning, but also what they're doing to help others.
Well, we're almost out of time. But before we go, Rachel, you've been on the show before, so you might remember we have a little segment we call Rapid Fire.
One of our favorite segments on Retail Gets Real is Rapid Fire. Thanks to our sponsor, PwC.
Today, we thought we would shake things up a little bit. And we thought we would play a little quiz that Susan and I can both participate in. We're going to take turns asking questions about past lists. Multiple choice. So you don't have to come up with the answer. You have multiple choice.
Okay, good.
Okay, but the first one isn't multiple choice.
Oh, I'm
but
so
anyway,
sorry. I'm lying to you.
Here it goes. Okay, so there's been lots of retailers who have been on what we called our sustained sizzle list. So these are people that appeared on the list
the hot list
since 2015.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
One of them is Amazon. Can you name one or two of the others who would have had sustained sizzle?
Oh, goodness. Well, Amazon, definitely, I would have said, for sure.
I know. That's why I took that away from you, babe.
Yes. Since 2015. That is a tough one.
Okay, think.
Wayfair, maybe?
Got it. Wayfair.
What else?
Think beauty.
Ulta.
Ulta.
Yes.
Ulta Beauty.
All right. Next one.
All right.
Okay.
Ready? 2015's number one retailer on the Hot 100 list was headquartered in Ontario, Canada. Was it A, Lululemon Athletica, B, Canadian Tire Corporation, or C, Hudson's Bay?
Oh, I would say Lululemon, but I don't know that they're headquartered in Ontario. I feel like they're headquartered in, is it Lululemon?
What do you think, Susan? Do you have a guess?
I think it's Canadian Tire.
Oh man, you're both wrong. I was going to give it away by saying it was headquartered in Ontario because it's Hudson's Bay.
Yes, okay. Because Ontario threw me because I know Lululemon is up there. I mean, they're on the hot 25 this year too.
Canadian Tire was my ringer. I was trying to convince.
Yeah.
Okay, Susan.
So this seems a little trite now, but there's a retailer who's number 22 on this current hot list, best known for yoga pants and doing yoga in their stores, and they would be
Lululemon.
Okay. 5 years ago, Dollar Tree, was in which position on 2016's Hot 100 list? Dollar Tree, were they number one, number two, or number four? One, two, or four?
Number two.
Okay, this is very stressful. But so we're going to just switch it up. Disney is a really cool retailer. So if you had to name your number one Disney princess, who would it be?
Oh, goodness. Number one Disney princess. I mean, I always loved Cinderella.
All right. Okay. I got to go with Jasmine myself, but maybe it's okay, just great, the dark hair, you know, cool boyfriend, whatever.
I'm a little bit more new school. I really like Rapunzel from Tangled.
Oh, yeah.
Beats up everybody with a frying pan.
So. Yes.
Her hair is nice. It's a fun little haircut at the end. All right. Last one for me anyway. Which grocer was number one on 2014's Hot 100 list? Albertsons, Sprouts Farmers Market, or grocery outlet?
I think I know this.
Is it Sprouts?
No.
Oh.
Albertsons.
Oh, on the Hot 100.
Yes.
Alrighty then.
Awesome.
It was the mergers, right? Because that's something that the hot list does. That's how you...
That's right.
The year that Ascena was number one.
Yes. Yes.
Great. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Rachel. This has just been lovely. And I love talking about the hot and top list. I know Susan does too.
It's been fun, Rachel.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This was fun. Appreciate it. Thank you.
And Susan, thank you so much for being such a delightful co-host.
Anytime.
Hey, Rachel, where can someone go to learn more about what Kantar does for retail?
Yeah, you can just go to our website, kantar.com.
Excellent. Thanks. And you can also find the top 100 retailers and hot 25 retailers list on nrf.com. Well, thank you, Rachel. Thank you, Susan. And thank you for listening to another episode of Retail Gets Real. You can find more information about today's discussion and more at retailgetsreal.com. And please send your feedback and episode ideas to podcast@nrf.com. Thanks for listening.